Welcome back. Big K Morning Show. Paul Alexander in for Larry. Marty is here. And
I got to do product promotion.
Sampling some of the sweets.
Yeah,
at
I
got to
do
Bakery.
A product promotion. This dosant thing is insane.
Now, what flavor? You had the strawberry.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know what mine was, but it was fantastic.
So, but I got to ask my man Seth. He's going to be an unbiased, because I'm biased towards Sereo and his family in Oakmont. Seth, put...
he can't.
He doesn't have a headset.
Yeah, yeah.
You love this, though, right?
Just give us a nod. Yeah,
Seth loves
it. He loves it.
So we're here at Oakmont Bakery. We're here till 10. We'd love to see you. The genesis of this is that Mark is deeply involved with an unbelievable facility where women in danger go. And they've been pimped out. They've been drugged up. They've been abused and battered. They've been robbed, beaten, and everything but murdered. And they seek shelter in these amazing facilities. Ronnie, there's several around the country with refuge women, right?
There are, yes.
Right? And Ronnie's here with us. Tell us your full name and your title.
I'm Ronnie Millich, and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator.
So I'm watching you because I watch everyone, as Paul knows. I'm a little weird.
Right, well, we know. We always do. Everyone observes people. I mean, it's just what we do.
And I pick up on things. And you came in here and said hello, but what I've noticed is you care about this so much, and tell me I'm wrong, and I'll admit it, but you're working the crowd because you want to get the word out here, right?
Absolutely.
This is so important to you, right?
It is.
Why?
It is. Well, I think that the problem is our kids are under attack every day. We all carry around a phone. The kids all have access to game stations and everything that we didn't have growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And the traffickers know that, and they spend their days 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, targeting our children.
Oh,
and
wow.
They do this online. This is their actual job. So when you have your child as young as 9 sitting playing a game that you believe is innocent, like Roblox,
yep.
the kids, they have chat features on there, and anybody, if you don't have strong security features,
yep.
you know, settings, anybody can talk to your child, and if you're not sitting there next to them, there's been instances where in Roblox, and I don't have this because my kids are older, but
right.
people have come in and simulated having relations with a 9-year-old girl in her home.
I had the
That's
privilege
so
to go into a pretty secret state police room where they have cops posing as young children online, and there were, to your point, it made me sick, actually. There were 300 or 400 at that time, simultaneously, men trying to pick up these young children and meet them to have sex.
Right.
And then they track them down and arrest them, but a lot of them get through, and they end up pimping out these kids and ruining their lives. In particular, though, this facility, Refuge for Women, I've been to a lot of these safe houses, they call them, and the house is secret because they could get killed.
Right.
Could they not?
Yeah. I mean, these women have been abused, and you don't know what their trafficker's situation is. So we keep our location completely
yep.
private and quiet. We don't even have a mailbox. And that way everybody has the ability to stay safe.
And, you know, Mark was talking about this. This is not just a place where you can rest your head. This is a program that, in essence, saves their lives and makes them better people and cleans them up and gives them focus and religion and insanity, right?
Right. And that's the great thing about our program is it's not just a Band-Aid. We're actually going in and we're helping these women change their lives. We're letting them have the opportunity to make decisions that they've never had the opportunity to make before. Even something as simple as what color clothes they want to wear that day.
Oh, my.
We're teaching them how to meal prep. I mean, when you talk to these women and they've only eaten gas station food for the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden we give them fresh vegetables that, you know, we've gotten from church partners, and we teach them how to prep the food and how to freeze it, and then how to make meals. We have volunteers that come in and show them how to make homemade gnocchi and things like that. So they're eating healthy, well-balanced meals. We're exposing them to activities that they've never had the opportunity to do because all they've been doing is working for their life.
Let's boil down to what's really important about what you're saying. You're saving lives, and Mark pointed this out, and it's very smart of him to say. You struggle financially until you can get on this Medicaid program,
right.
Medicare, I apologize, where they pay a substantial amount of the cost.
Right.
It is Medicare, right? Yeah,
Medicaid, it is
Medicaid,
yeah.
I apologize. And until then, you got to raise money to keep this place
right.
running, right?
Right, exactly.
And it's tough.
It's very hard, yeah. I mean, there's a million different charities in the world, and everyone is worthy, but, you know, we think ours is most worthy, of course.
Yeah.
So we have to do things to raise money every day, and that's what we're out doing, which is why we have the events that we have, like the one coming up in May.
Yes, tell us about the event, and then let's make sure we mention the number today.
So in May, on the 4th of May, we're having Tea and Totes. It's a purse bash tea party, and it's a fun day. It's a morning event. We are going to have a great brunch provided by Bistro to Go.
Nice.
We're having basket auctions. We have 10 designer purses that we're going to auction, or that you could win with your ticket. Lots of fun surprises. If you wear a big fancy hat or a fascinator, you can get a special treat. And every dime goes to Refuge for Women and the programs that we provide.
That sounds great.
All right, how do they get to this information on this?
So it's at refugeforwomen.org /Pittsburgh. There's a events tab, and you can join there. On our Facebook page, again, it's Refuge for Women Pittsburgh. We have it all over the place. I think that Seth said that he's going to post it on your page.
Nice. Absolutely. We'll get that up.
Yep. I don't know where else we could. I could
find
more places to post it.
I think that's going to be. You're not going to be hiding from anybody now. I think it'll be findable without a doubt.
And I notice you so much that you care so much because you're walking up to strangers and giving them information and trying to get them involved. And that's above and beyond. It shows how much you love this and want to make a difference.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate you being here.
Ronnie,
thank you so much for having me.
And in the meantime, 53555 HOPE, HOPE, Pittsburgh, PGH. You can give right now to this unbelievable cause, and it's just so scary to me that family members are doing this to their own kids,
to their own
wives, their own siblings. They're just doing awful things, and it's just frightening to me. And we have to do something to help.
That's right. Thank you,
Ronnie. Thank you
so much.
Welcome back,
Paul
Alexander in for Larry. Happy Friday, everybody.
My all-time favorite artist right there, Springsteen.
For real?
In mass obsessed. I know every word to every song.
How many shows?
I've seen at least 10.
10?
Yeah. Dallas and Los Angeles.
See, I think he would be, like, if I were, you know, driving through New Jersey and, you know, wanted to stop and have a couple of pops and listen to a cool, like, live music, I think The Boss would be really good.
Yes.
As far as selling out an arena, I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Massive
That's just
stars.
Me.
What, and I've never seen it in my life, and I'm an old guy, and it kind of makes me think of Cindy, like, why are we talking about Taylor Swift? In my career, I've never, ever seen an entertainer or an artist have this kind of impact, ever, until Caitlin Clark.
Ooh.
The impact. Hey, Paulie, you're a sports guy. You forgot more sports than I'll ever know. In my life, I've never seen one person have such an impact on a sport. It's insane.
I mean, I'll throw a couple out there. Arnold Palmer.
Oh, excellent.
Golf used to be just for the elite.
Excellent.
No one cared about it. Arnie brought it to the people.
Excellent observation.
Arnie's army. The baton was then handed to Tiger Woods. Think about who he introduced
to
golf.
Great point.
Minority people. There's guys on the PGA Tour now. The only reason they took up golf was because Tiger was that guy.
That's right on.
So that was unbelievable. Now, Steph Curry didn't do anything for basketball that wasn't already done.
Right.
But his ability to shoot the three and to shoot from so far away has changed the game of basketball. And now I'm going to get to Caitlin.
Yeah, of course.
But that brought back shooting. It used to be the seven-foot centers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and, you know, Moses Malone.
It was all
the big guys. And now it's all about shooting the three. And now Caitlin Clark, she became the female Steph Curry. And the thing that was amazing about what she did, and to your point, Nike just gave her $20 million to be their, you know, spokesperson. $20 million. I mean, that's significant. But more people watched the women's NCAA college basketball tournament than the men.
Well, and
that's never happened. That's never even been close.
She's the Taylor Swift of women's basketball.
100%. Women's athletics right now.
It's funny, too, because I used to watch her because I like scores. It's funny you should say this. And unlike anyone who's a little crazy in terms of commitment, and because I'm a little crazy, as you know, in terms of commitment, just like Soraya is.
Right.
And how Here's what I tell my wife about people. She was raised right.
Oh, yeah.
Because she managed this.
And the work ethic. And it's all. And here's something that everybody has to take. You know, everyone wants a pill to lose weight. Everyone wants instant gratification.
Yeah.
No one wants to put in the work. Everyone looks. They work harder at working around an issue than they would if they would just work and actually solve. Like people that would do those extravagant, you know, cheat sheets to cheat on tests, if they would have spent that amount of time studying the subject, they would have probably aced the test anyhow. But the point being is it's hard work. And the thing that was cool, because, you know, Shelby Cassese, who we worked with at
KDK,
she's now doing a great job over on Channel 11. She said, hey, do you have Susie McConnell Cereal's phone number? And I go, absolutely, because Susie McConnell still has the all-time assist record in college basketball. No one worked harder. She was an Olympian. She has a gold medal. She was in the WNBA. She was kind of Caitlin, before Caitlin existed.
I mean, but she didn't drive these ratings.
No, she did not.
But it's a phenomenon.
She still carved the path.
Yeah.
So all of this is just, I think, amazing.
So the women's draft, which I could care less about, I just don't get interested. And honestly, until Caitlin Clark, I didn't care about women's sports.
Right.
I got to be honest, and I watch her now. The draft last week, which no one ever watched before, they had a 400% increase in ratings.
And yeah.
Pat McAfee, who's a plum guy who we know and love, said,
don't you just love him?
He said a 40% jump in ratings is massive. She had a 400% jump.
Correct.
She's a phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean, she has changed everything. Absolutely changed everything. And you're going to see, much like we got to see here, you know, I grew up playing hockey in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? We were a cult. No one else even knew like that. Like, you play what?
I remember
you
this.
You do what?
I remember this.
You know, and again, this is,
no,
this
I remember
is the,
that.
The early 70s.
Yep.
The Penguins, like 3,000 people went
right,
to games.
Right.
I was one of them. But then we got Mario Lemieux here.
Yes.
And that, you know, all of a sudden Pittsburgh was a hockey town.
So true.
And then we get Sidney Crosby.
Yep.
And it continues. But, I mean, now you can grow up in Pittsburgh and play hockey at a high enough level that you can make it to the NHL. When I was growing up, we weren't from Canada because we had no chance.
Yeah.
We weren't good enough. But now Caitlin Clark is going to do the same thing.
What's amazing about women's basketball, to kind of understand the lack of interest, her salary is $77,000. That's lint hair in an NBA player's pocket.
But as you know, in entertainment and sports, and this is one thing that I get, they should make as much as men. Well, no, the men, the TV contracts that the NBA has pay for their salaries.
Right.
The WNBA didn't have enough interest
to
get that kind. This is going to change.
It is.
And, you know, just like some of the arts, you know, without big grants and big things, that it's not sustainable.
It isn't, sir.
It's
You're
not.
Right. You're
so
right.
As much as I want, you know, and again, with daughters, with, you know, sisters, I mean, I want women to get everything they can. But right now, you can't just give it to them because
ratings equals revenue, brother.
Bingo. And now it's going to actually be earned. And I think that's the beauty.
These women's teams are so weak financially. Their situation is so tenuous that if you're a billionaire and you own a team and you have a private jet and say, throw the ladies on a jet, you get fined. They have to fly commercial because they can't afford private jets for all the teams. She will bring this into another place. Plus, she's a hell of a role model.
Yes, she is.
She was raised right.
100%.
All right, after the break, we got something really. You got to hang. We're out at Oakmont Bakery. Come on out and see us and say hi.
And hop on to 53555 HOPE, H-O-P-E, Pittsburgh, P-G-H, and give money to Refuge for Women.
And
let's go.
We'll text you that number, Samantha. People are calling asking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Paulie, this song.
It's the end of The Sopranos.
A flood of memories.
Right?
In my life.
I mean, that's what I always think of.
I made out with so many girls to this song. You have no idea.
And every one of them is denying it right now.
No, they're not.
No, I didn't.
They're out of state.
No, I didn't.
They're out of state.
I don't even know that guy.
They're hiding somewhere.
Paul Alexander in for Larry today. Marty Griffin here. We are live at Oakmont Bakery. Refuge for Women is the cause today. And the man that stepped up is Mark Serrero, the owner of Oakmont Bakery. Right now, we're lucky enough to have the author, the creator of the Dosant, son Tony Serrao.
Hey,
how are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
Is your dad a pretty cool dude?
He's awesome. He really is. He's a great guy, generous guy.
Great son?
most generous person I know.
Stay out of this, Surreal. Tell your dad to back off.
Take a break.
So there's the me and my shadow thing we hear all growing up. You are your father's shadow. Is that fair?
It is. You know, yeah. As soon as I told him I wanted to be in the business, he took me under his wing, yep, and invested into me and shared. You know, we're not your typical family business.
No.
He shared every experience that he had with me and my sisters. And it's, you know, and I think that's why we are so successful.
Oh, yeah. My man, what I love about you, and obviously I do love you, you're family to me. And so, as you know, so is your father, is that you get it. You get the family thing. You get the community thing. You get the performance thing, and you get the work ethic thing. And it's tough to do all that and to stay happy with a family when you're all going crazy all day at work, is it not?
It is. You know, growing up in the business, you know, and I mean, you know, you tell the story, yep, all the time. I mean, my dad used to drag me out of bed to get me here in the morning.
Hold on. Listen to this story. How old were you? I forget when this happened.
17. Yeah.
And he comes in your room because you didn't want to go to work. And what did he do?
Oh, flip my mattress over, Paul, drag me out of bed,
Paul,
pull the car out, wait for me to come out. I'd run outside, you know.
Oh.
But, you know, over the years, that's how we learned. I mean, we always had to work. We no matter what we were doing, we were never forced to be in the business. You know, I have a sister. She's a school teacher. Sister's in grad school now. But he always, you know, made us work. And that's why we are the way we are today.
All right, let me tell a story which ties into that, to the next generation. It was one of the holidays. It might have been Easter. And I see pictures or a video that your father sent me of your twins working here.
Oh, yeah.
When the place is closed.
Yep.
Is that not true?
Yeah, and that's what you used to do with me. Bring me in on holidays.
True.
Yep. Oh, my. I mean, we'd open the store up on some holidays whenever it was, you know, much
smaller.
Hold on.
Let me interrupt you again. Tell Paul the story about the time you opened up on a holiday when the place was completely shut down, and then what happened?
Oh, my gosh. It was Christmas Day. We come down.
Christmas Day.
I was probably 8 or 9. We opened the store. We were getting things ready for
not
the night
Not opening
crew.
Presents. You're opening,
opening
the store.
Store. Yep. We had a line out the door. We were making coffee. We had to call two of my aunts in. We started baking bread. We were making donuts. It was amazing. He let me keep all the money. That's how generous he is.
Wow.
By the way, that ain't no joke.
It's not. He isn't. I mean, you
he's
know,
insanely generous.
He is. And we're blessed and we're able to be able to bless other people. And that's how he looks at it as, you know, on a Christmas Day, we'll have products left. What do we do? Let's call Light of Life Mission. Let's call the Presbyterian Homes. Instead of saying, how do we cut costs back? It's how do we give back?
Right.
Hey, the thing about it is that you got to be a little crazy to have success. And I know this because I'm a little crazy. That's why we're all so close, I think. But at the end of the day, it's about family and friendship and relationships and doing it the right way. And my man, I love you. And I see you do the things your father did, except you're doing them better. And it's never easy, but you make it seem easy, man. It's a blessing to know you. It really is.
We love you, Marty.
And I want to talk to your sister.
Yeah.
She's the outcast. You wouldn't let her be on the microphone.
We only have one headset.
He's trying to push her away.
Tony, great job.
Thanks, brother.
Man. The dosants are to die for.
It's insane.
We didn't even get to the recipe of the dosants. But you know what? Maybe we should keep it a secret.
Kristen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You are not working in this bakery.
I am not. I am currently the only one of the five not working here. My sisters are in college.
The prodigal daughter.
Okay.
They're still here.
So what are you doing?
I'm a school teacher in the community, actually.
Nice. Okay. Nice. At Riverview?
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So you walk across the street.
I actually am in Verona. I'm at the Verner Elementary School, so I'm just across the viaduct, about a mile away.
And what grade do you teach?
I'm K to 6 right now, special education.
Oh, God. That, we want to talk about special people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just know right now, without knowing you at all, you're a special human being. Because anyone that does special ed, you're special. I mean,
those kids bless me as much as I get to bless them.
Isn't that the truth, though? I did a lot with Special Olympics way back in the day. And you think that you're helping them. At the end of the day, you realize they don't have a bad day.
No.
They don't have a bad thought.
Mm-mm.
They don't have anything other than joy in their lives. Mm-hmm. They're just, I'm amazed at what they teach us.
Yeah, it changes you so much, too.
Your father's so proud of you. But I was watching Tony talk about your father in this business, and the whole time you're nodding your head.
Yeah.
Right? What did you learn, and what do you gather from your family doing this so well?
So I'm 30 now, but I started working here when I was about 13.
Oh, my.
And we would
child
work,
labor violence.
Well, we would work before we could get paid for it. It was just that we
What's
would come in
number
and help
state,
out.
Paulie?
You know,
you
we
were
would
a
just
hostage,
come in and
not
help.
A volunteer.
Yes. But I grew up here. I mean, I spent so many of my weekends
like
here.
The coach. Yeah.
And I actually still do. So choosing to go into education and leave the bakery was something that was challenging for me because I spent so much of my life here with my family, and that separated some of that time. But now, like, I have dinner here every Monday and Thursday with my son.
Aww.
My husband actually went to school for entrepreneurship and business management.
Oh, my God.
So he manages here.
Oh, my.
Which is awesome. So he's my counterpart, and he gets to be involved. And my dad really invested in him, and so did Tony. So it's really cool to see that he gets to be a part of it. And I spend all my free time here so I can be around everybody.
Well, you take the kindness and greatness for granted because that's how you live. That's your DNA. But it's extraordinary. So when you get in the outside world, you probably realize the greatness that emanates from you, do you not?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was brought up in a way that I just knew you had to work hard. We understood the value of a dollar. Our parents made our lives easy for us, but they always made sure that we understood what hard work was, that we were engaged in hard work, and that because we were blessed, we could be a blessing to others.
Nice.
So, I mean, I get to see that through my parents, and I get to be that because of them.
And here's what I make myself do, and it seems like you guys just do it naturally.
Wow.
A lot of people have that, I have to go to work. I get to go
to
work.
To.
I get to go to work. Oh, I have to work out. I get to work out. And when you start with that mentality, it's a life changer.
I think that goes along, too, with, like, the generosity piece. I just was talking to Tony about this the other day, and I said something that our parents have always instilled in us, besides their strong faith, is that we get to give, that we get to be givers. We have opportunity to give. So we always looked at it as something exciting that we could do and not something that we had to do. And my parents get so excited to give. People don't even know how much they give.
And people don't even realize physically, when you give to others, there's a
internal
there's
joy.
An internal joy that is, it's physical.
It
you
is.
You give off some I don't even, what's it called? Whatever, dopamine or something.
Yes.
Something happens inside of you. That's why they say it's better to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just like some cliche. It honestly is. It is better for you physically to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
Can you throw that headset on your brother's head for a minute?
Thank you. Paul, great job.
Thank you. Paul was right. I don't like baked goods that much because of my taste buds were destroyed by cancer.
I noticed treatment. You like the Dosant.
This is what I wanted to say. Man, they're sick. They're sick. They're so good. What the hell is that? How do you do that?
Yeah, so this year we were, after Punchki season, we were like, we need to come up with a better Dosant. You know, we did a lot of research, my dad and I, and so it's croissant dough, 100% butter, 21 layers of dough in it.
Hold on.
21 layers.
21 layers.
Is it a Clementi thing?
So we sheet out the dough on a sheeter. We, you know, roll the butter in, and you just have to do it, you know, 21 times.
What?
And it's a process. We have, you know, three amazing bakers that help with them in the back. But, I mean, you can see, look all those layers in there.
Oh, they're just fantastic.
Butter.
My man, it's
dude,
butter.
Pittsburgh cream, strawberries, fresh.
And heck, look at these two. They're like the epitome of fitness and health. And they're in a bakery 24 hours a day. How do you do that?
Well, that's why you made the building so long.
Oh, my God.
It's exercise.
My brother, thank you so much.
Thank you both
so much.
God bless you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Paulie.
Absolutely awesome.
Paulie, look down the counter there.
What do we see?
Hold on. Beside the woman. Look, there's your boy.
The man that was he was banned.
He was banned from here.
He was banned for too much sugar.
Rick DiCarlo.
Rick DiCarlo, the
Ricky
man, the myth, the legend.
Ricky D has been banned from here. Why are you allowed in here?
I can't believe they let him back in.
Oh, my gosh. Santa Claus.
It is all good, my friends.
We love Rick DiCarlo.
Ricky D.
He's trying to get a freebie, I bet.
Oh, he'll probably get some.
Yeah, he will.
Welcome back. Big K Morning Show. Paul Alexander and for Larry Richard. Marty Griffin is here. We're live at Oakmont Bakery. We're trying to do some good. Refuge for Women. A couple of different ways that you can donate to help people that really need your help. You can text HOPE, HOPEPGH, to 53555, or go to refugeforwomen.org/Pittsburgh and give what
Mark,
you can.
Mark
Sorreo. We're trying to help people. We got Mark Sorreo.
By the way, Mark.
Your kids are amazing, by the way.
They are, man.
What a reflection. You have to be so proud.
I am.
I mean,
that's just awesome.
Now, Mark, tell us how you got involved with this amazing shelter and what that actually means, what this place is.
So a good friend of mine, Lee Kreicher, is one of my best friends.
Yes.
And
one of the ministers at your church.
He's the founding pastor of Amplify. Yeah. His wife, Linda, got involved in Refuge. She's actually the president of the board of directors of the Pittsburgh Safe House. And so she talked about it a lot. And my wife was actually the one who was really interested
nice.
In it. You know? And so we decided that we would sponsor a room. That's how we started.
Yep.
So Oakmont Bakery sponsored a room, then two rooms, and now we give regularly. We do whatever we can.
He's insanely generous, to the tune of tens of thousands, more than 100,000, quite frankly. And he doesn't like people to know how generous he is, but I don't care because people need to know the greatness of this man and his family. And the facility is unusually gorgeous, Mark.
It is.
Yeah.
He did an unbelievable job.
And it's been, let's be honest, a little frustrating with jumping through the bureaucratic hoops to get it where it needs to be.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
To that end, we have Jay Costa coming in here because he's one of my people because he cares so much and he really stepped up for you.
He makes stuff happen.
He did. He did make it happen, did he not?
He did. He helped get some of the permitting through when they were having a really hard time getting to certain people that needed to sign off on the permits and things like that. And so I texted him. He immediately called me back,
yep.
And he got things rolling. There's somebody he already was a little involved
yep.
with somebody else from there, and so he's amazing.
So let's be honest too. You threatened me,
yes,
and forced me to. And look, I love the place. Well, I walked through it. It's absolutely. But you pretty much said I will cut you off as a friend, as a sponsor. If you don't help me, help this place.
I did ask you to help.
You did. And you rarely
so
do
funny.
That, by the way. You rarely do that. But you kind of said, do it or die. And
yeah.
you just sent your kids to beat me to death with donuts.
That's right.
Hey, on a lighter note,
donut.
Standing behind you is Ricky DiCarlo.
Hey, Rick.
Rick DiCarlo.
Legend.
He's the worst salesperson that ever worked this account. Is that not fair?
No, he was very good. He kept me in line, never gave up.
You banned him. You banned him from coming here because he ate so much.
That's
not
true. That is not true.
Ricky D, man.
He was addicted to sugar.
He was he was an excellent KDKA salesperson. Kept me on point.
He's a good man. He's a good man.
He's
the mayor of Bloomfield, for heaven's sake.
The beautiful Lisa Lucina one just walked in.
Yep.
It's like celebrity sweepstakes in here.
It's
right
amazing.
Now. It is
by
a
the
big
way,
deal.
You have made this place like that, like your family. And Paulie asked me a really relevant question. Folks have a horrible time retaining employees, and you don't. Why?
I love that.
Why?
We have a lot of very long-term employees,
yeah.
and we don't have a gigantic turnover like a lot of places do. I think we treat them like family.
Yep.
We are like a family.
People don't realize the greatest employee in the world is an appreciated employee, and
yeah.
you appreciate your employees,
we really
and that's
do.
Why they stay.
And we know we couldn't do it without them, absolutely. And, you know, the longer someone's here, the more important they are to us because they know the business so well, just like our family.
And let me say this about them. I've seen a couple of your fellows come through early this morning that work here. They were convicted felons, and
yeah.
you gave them new life,
yeah.
did you not?
Yeah. And they've been here many years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's
excellent
wonderful.
Employees,
wonderful.
Very loyal.
That's a risk.
They'd kill for me.
Why do
yeah.
you do it? Oh, you're doing that again.
Especially people that don't do what you ask them to do.
That's
like,
right.
Marty.
Why do you take that risk, sir?
Well, you know, we're very careful who we hire, even those people. So we interview them, Tony and I, and we decide whether it's worth giving it a shot. And like, there's some people that we haven't taken, but these we have, and it's worked out really well.
All right, my man.
Right.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.